All right, everybody.
Welcome, everybody, to the show Life's a Banquet, the show that's edible, spreadable, and Zara.
Horrible.
Starring your hosts, me, Brenton Scott, and
me, Zara Tangora.
A show about ostrich and wine and dough.
I'm drunk.
Always. Life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet, banquet.
Welcome to Life's a Banquet, a podcast about the highs and lows of all things edible, spreadable, and pourable. Starring your hosts, Brenton Scott and
Zara Tangora.
Zara, you must have missed us. It is almost Halloween.
All Hallows Eve is upon us.
Yes.
Spooky.
Ghost, I'm stirring out of... Oh my god.
Oh god, I thought those were real ghosts for a second.
No, it was just
an
entire brownstone stoop laced in fake cobwebs. Ooh. And let me tell you something, everybody, if you're listening.
Make sure
you do those cobwebs. Take an extra 15 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, Google some images. In fact, it's so easy nowadays.
Yeah, the computer. It's at everyone's fingertips, huh?
We all have handheld computers.
The internet. We walk around tiny... $1,000 computers in our back pocket. There's no excuse for poorly placed cobwebs.
So just,
I'll tell you that.
Google how to put up spider webs.
Absolutely.
In fact, turn this
podcast off right now. We're not going to say anything interesting anyway, and just figure it out.
Well, Zara got back from Rome.
I was roaming.
I was in Spain. Zara was in Italy.
We just don't have time for this country anymore.
We're just busy, busy people full of busy lives. Tell us.
Okay. So Rome was awesome. Before I left for Rome,
In 30 words or less.
Rome was awesome. Pasta, pizza, primavera. Pasta, pizza,
no,
primavera.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Pumpkin. that's my song about Rome.
Not at all.
I really loved it. Before I left, a couple folks who I chatted with were like, I don't really love Rome. Rome's not my favorite. You're staying for too long. I went for like 8 days total.
Oh my gosh. Oh, sorry. I'm digging into my chocolate. I'm like,
Go ahead.
I'm like the person at the theater, like, go ahead. I'm listening.
It's ASMR. You can feel
free. Listening. 100%.
Yeah, totally. So anyway, I loved it. I was just really taken aback. I've been to Italy many times. But mostly in the country. I haven't been to that many cities. I've been to like Bologna and Palermo and Catania. But I loved Rome. I ate my heart out. I traveled alone. What I realized mostly when I was in Rome,
traveling solo.
Okay. Traveling solo. I've traveled with many boyfriends before always been miserable. Not miserable. Like I've had great times, but like in retrospect, when compared to traveling alone, I'm like, oh man, that was super awkward. I've decided I will only travel alone to major cities from now on.
It really is. I mean, Preston and I travel a lot together. And for the we get along and he actually finds really cool stuff. And
you can say whatever you want. He doesn't listen to this podcast.
Every time we go, he's just driving me up the wall. No, just kidding.
Okay, everybody just calm down.
Yeah. No, we had a really good time. But it's very different. Used to only travel alone.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I did kind of miss is when you can go and have a fun restaurant experience.
Only thing I missed out on was food.
And you kind of can there's something weird too. I feel more confident when I'm with somebody else. Like, let's pop our head in here. And sometimes when I'm alone,
oh, really?
I'm like,
I feel opposite because I don't, the awkwardness of being like, well, what do you think? Should we eat here? Should we do this? You know what I mean? For me, like I just popped into places. I did everything I wanted. And I was like, kept reminding myself every time I felt shame that none of these people that I'm seeing will ever, ever see me ever again.
That is except when our heads are on every screen because Life's a Banquet podcast is going viral, folks.
Absolutely. So I ate a ton of food. I had all the Roman classics, the Amatriciana, Cacio e Pepe.
Did you have puntarelli?
I did. I had
puntarelli, the salad with
my God, with anchovy,
okay,
lemon.
So puntarelli, if you...
What is it anyway, exactly?
It's in the chicory family.
It's like a chicory, but then it's also kind of like celery.
Okay, it's lettuce. Let's just talk about it. It's a salad.
But it's
a
hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder than lettuce. It's hard.
Harder than
Much
lettuce,
harder
but I do.
Lettuce.
Who doesn't love a puntarelli? The name puntarelli just sounds...
It sounds, yeah,
like ladies and gentlemen,
punta.
Prepare the puntarelli.
Oh God, it's good. It's hard to describe. It's very curly.
It has a lot of, I think there's something.
It's fibrous.
I should know this. I think something with the translation, because it all comes, shoots out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Isn't punta bitch?
Yeah, that's punta Spanish. And really is like really bitch.
It's like, really bitch? You're going to eat this?
Punta really.
It's very good. I had it with like anchovies and lots of lemon. Yeah.
So that's how we'll always remember this now.
Really bitch salad. It was good. I was really good. I think the best thing I ate is at a restaurant that you recommended that I go to.
Oh, goodness. I was just paging
what
through.
What is it called? Tavernaccia.
Paging through my vision book, which is right here.
Uh-huh, yes.
It's my goals, hopes, aspirations.
It's leather bound.
Yeah, I got it at a thrift store.
Pure class. You know that, Brett and Scott? Pure antique. Class.
So I was looking and I had the copy of the menu, which I can't find. But
oh
the first
God.
Time I went there and it was 60 euros.
Yeah.
So, and Kate, this is going to be our chef recommends this week. Is
yeah.
If you're in Rome or not in Rome, you should buy a plane ticket to go to Rome.
You should. It's great.
And it's called La Tavernaccia.
Yeah. It's the best.
Da Bruna.
Yeah. It was really great. That and Ruscoli was incredible.
I spent my 40th birthday there.
Yeah.
When I had my 40th birthday was, I had lunch in Nice. We had mussels and...
Pardon all of us.
Mussels and linguine. And then we got on a flight.
Oh, really?
Flew 55 minutes to Rome. And I had a amicicciana for dinner. It was...
Dude.
The 40th birthday of to be at all 40th
two birthdays. Pasta days
and
the
I remember
best days.
I said I planned it and it, you know there was a little bit of stress like traveling we missed yes. a train blah 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 but I planned it as such and I started to get down on myself before 40 not to like cut your Rome story off but
oh no
I was
that's
like
fine.
Yeah. So anyway about me
go ahead
listen everybody I have a great story
anyway sounds like you had a lovely time Zara
and
so
I beat myself up for being, I was like, how come I'm not one of those people that had like 30 of their best friends and I could pay for dinner at like Stone Barn or something, right?
No,
and
thank you.
And I said, listen, I'm going to do the best I can. And that's what 40 is about.
Yeah.
And now I'm approaching 50. Just kidding.
Yeah. And now on your 50th.
Okay. So tell me, let's talk about guanciale.
Let's talk about it. Okay. So I actually, for anyone who doesn't know, guanciale is a cured pork jowl.
And a cheek.
It,
yep.
Yeah. It has the
cheek,
same
the
kind
face,
of.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Pork face. And which is, incidentally, Donald Trump's new insult for me.
What?
Pork
what?
Face.
Oh, pork
I'm
face?
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
You heard about how he called Stormy Daniels horse face.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Of course.
Very mature. Mm-hmm. Real class act.
Classy guy leading
classy
this country.
Classy guy through and through. Shits on a gold toilet, calls women horse yeah, yeah. face. Anyway. So guanciale is pork face,
mm-hmm.
and it's cured. And, you know, I mean, the closest thing we have in America, I guess, is bacon, although bacon is smoked. So
bacon
not
is
that
smoked.
Close.
Guanciale is not smoked. It has a little bit more fat. You can render it slowly, or
yeah.
it has a little bit more of a gamey, full,
delicious.
Rich.
The best.
The mouth.
The best of, the all, the of all the cured
I mean,
meats.
You know how you sometimes do a bacon salad, or you know, on a blue cheese salad. You know how you do it.
You replace all the lettuce with bacon. Yes, I do.
Remember my 1968 book? It's a bacon salad.
Brenton's bacon salad.
4 pounds of bacon, rendered slowly.
Chives.
Yeah. Mix with a little mustard and vinegar, and place on plate. That's the recipe for the week, by the way. Okay, so what else?
So guanciale.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So talking about guanciale. It is in everything in Rome. Basically, every pasta that's like the famous Roman pastas of Al Grecia, which is basically cacio e pepe
with
guanciale. So cheese, black pepper, like emulsified with water.
And then
only.
It gets that
and
fat in there, so it kind of tastes buttery or something.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
It's the best pasta I've ever had. The one I had at La Tavernaccia.
The best pasta you've ever had.
It was the best. That was the single best pasta at Tavernaccia.
La Tavernaccia, yeah.
That was the best pasta I ever had. It blew my mind. Carbonara has guanciale, and so does amatriciana.
Mm-hmm.
So those are three out of the four famous pastas from Rome have guanciale.
Sorry,
so
I'm trying to find my receipt because.
Oh man, it was delicious. What else did I have? I had a lot of pizza. The whole pies that I had, like when you sit down and get like a whole pizza,
mm-hmm,
very
mm-hmm.
similar to Neapolitan in the way, I mean, and I'm probably going to get a lot of backlash from this. They're obviously larger and they're thinner and crispier, but they
yes.
do have that chewy, delicious
they do. I,
crust.
Roman pizza, I think, is underrated. It's actually my favorite type
It's amazing.
Of-
but then they have the Roman pizza that's like the sheet pizza to go, which is totally different. And that's like cracker, crunchy crust. They snip it either with scissors or with a big, like, hatchet.
Oh, my God. Look, I'm looking at the receipt of La Tavernaccia. This is from 2016.
What did you have?
We had tagliolino, cinghiale. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, cinghiale. It's like boar, right?
Rigatoni Matriciana. We have Maialino, which is that...
Oh, the suckling pig?
The suckling pig. They have crispy skin. It will change your life.
Oh, my God.
Forever.
I can't wait to go back to Rome. We got to go together.
When Preston was somewhere and he was talking to this girl about her Rome trip, and it turns out it was Danny Meyer's
Oh, you
daughter.
Told me that. And she gave you the list.
She gave us the list or something. Or I don't know if it was his client or something. Anyway, so... I'm looking at the list here.
Yeah.
A half liter of Rosso, which is wine.
Their wine list also is amazing.
We got the house wine.
Okay, I drank a bottle of the first night of Walter Mouse's 100% Timo Rosso.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time I went twice, I got a bottle of Ariano Chipenti SP68 white.
We love those wines.
It's delicious. And I picked the wine for the tables next to me because they both heard that I was American. Anyway, what is that? So that's what you had.
No, the wine was €4 for a half liter.
It's amazing. That
a
place
half
is
liter.
The best. It's absolutely the best. It's I followed a lot of Katie Parla's recommendations.
Yes, she has wonderful recommendations.
Really, really good. And the other place that I absolutely loved, I mean, I can't say the other place that I absolutely Roscoli, amazing. And I loved for pizza. Pizzerinum was amazing.
Oh,
by the
yes,
Vatican.
Of course.
It was.
I've heard really good things
oh
about that.
Oh my God. Mind blowing. Delicious.
Well, I'm getting so hungry.
Yeah. What's
I
up just, with you? What have you been doing?
Well, I had, I did some food styling.
Oh, cool.
That was last week. So that was for a video
I'm
shoot. And
surprised.
I can't say who it was because I signed an NDA.
Perfect.
But it was fabulous and it was a lot of fun and we cooked a lot and made things look really pretty. And that was really cool.
That's amazing.
And it was really fun to watch this guy work. He was a person and he was being shot.
Human man.
He was a human man cooking live on a video camera.
A live man.
It was fun. He was great. And it was a lot of fun.
Cool.
And so then I was like wiped out from cooking. I was like, I do not want, you know, sometimes when you cook an event, if you've ever like, when we do catering parties and then the 3 days after, I just can't get myself to get back into cooking.
No. And you just want to, like, also, sometimes you're so exhausted, like, all I want to do is just, like, go somewhere and be, like, taken care of, and, like, have some wine and, like, a
totally. But then suddenly 2-3 days later, so then I'm like, all right, let's rip it out. And then you're kind of in work mode and you're like, okay, I'm going to make the soup. I was like, I'm going to get this done. So I made a bunch of bean soups this week.
Oh, God damn
bean
it.
Soups frozen. I made stuffed cabbage rolls. Made those. And I did find a little quart of tomato sauce in the freezer that it was dated August 16th.
Okay.
So I was like, let me use this up. I used fresh tomatoes. I made it pseudo sweet and sour,
not
too
super.
Sweet. No, okay. I just put some sherry vinegar in.
Okay.
And some red, you know what I mean? It was pretty mild.
Yeah.
My rice. I did uncooked rice.
Oh, how did it work out?
Perfect.
Yeah. It usually is fine.
Like I kind of am like, no, I'm just skip the cooking the rice step.
Yeah. It goes either way. Sometimes if you have leftover rice,
hit me up on Instagram if you want to know my recipe because I did write it down because I thought it was very delicious.
I'm sure it was great. When I make it in the wintertime, like in the dead of winter, when I really like, and my family like makes it sweet and sour, I throw in candied ginger and I also throw in ginger snaps and prunes.
Yes. I'm going to try yours.
Yeah. It's great. All different kinds of ways.
I turned over a new leaf. I've turned
what
over a new
that?
Leaf while you were gone and I started listening to positive affirmations.
Okay.
And it really changed everything.
Yeah, you're glowing.
I'm glowing. And you can sign up for $59 a month. You can just join my new... Just kidding.
You're
I will
Susan
tell you
Cattering
how to be fabulous.
It.
I've decided that I need to show the world.
Sell yourself, man.
Yeah, yeah. So for just $49, you can... On the website called You Can See It All. Or something. There's like something that male models do. Only fans.
Oh,
it's where
really?
You can see nude photos.
All male models?
I don't know.
Even Fabio?
I don't know. Maybe.
Can we take a really sharp left turn here for a second
yes.
and just discuss the time when Fabio got hit in the face?
We always talk about
by
this.
A goose.
Available
together.
On
we haven't. If people pay for your class, will you tell them more about it?
I'll have a slideshow presentation. And he has pictures of it because it was on the roller coaster, and the roller coaster snaps pictures.
Yeah, it's the most. Also, it was being covered by a film crew. Because it was like an event.
Oh, that's right.
So he's with a bunch of women who are like dressed in German like garb. And I watched it very recently. The goose, you don't see it make impact with his face. But what does happen, which I didn't know beforehand, is that when the goose hits its face, hit it, being him, Fabio, the man.
Hits the
when
face.
When the goose hits the face, she places the lotion in the basket.
When the goose hits the face, it shits. And goose shit goes on all of the fucking women behind him that are dressed as like German, you know, models and like whatever.
Wow, I missed that part.
No, no, more stuff happens. Then they barf because they're covered in like
goose. Damn it, I'm opening this chocolate.
Just open it. You just keep... Don't just stare at it. Eat it. Oh. So anyway, now they're not only covered in goose blood, Fabio blood, and goose shit, but then also their own barf. And Fabio was very upset. And I think he broke his nose on that goose.
That's
go
so
watch
crazy.
It. Yeah, it's the most
insane. I just realized that we're supposed to be recording live today.
Yeah.
With minimal efforts, and I decided to take a bite of chocolate.
That's okay. It's an ASMR. I'm going to have another bite of your chocolate.
Well, okay. Wait, So I was thinking, what's trending? What's going on in the food world? I was at the farmer's market today. Thought I'd lost my phone. Had a crazy day.
Mm.
Couldn't find any broccoli. Lots of celery.
No broccoli.
Well, there was some broccoli. People, they're like, ah, sold out the first hour.
Oh, wow.
I was like, no wonder. Preston's always, I'm always like, oh, in the morning, I was like, we have to go, we have to get there, we have to go to this. And Preston's like, relax, you're so uptight. I said, no, this is the way New York is. If you don't do it, you're going to miss out. And the early bird gets the worm.
Yeah, and also gets the broccoli and eucalyptus.
Early bird gets the eucalyptus. Early bird gets the broccolini, the perfect one, the one with a nice little flat. Like,
yeah,
that's what the early bird gets.
Absolutely.
The late bird might get like, oh, yeah, throw an extra apple. Like, it's the end of the day. Like,
yeah, the late bird gets like a gnarly looking like squash.
Yeah, can you hurry up and pick those chilios that we got to pack up?
The early bird gets the butt shaped and boob and dick shaped things, all the comical genital vegetables.
I overheard some chefs talking about getting ready for persimmon pudding.
How dare they?
Already, I just kind of feel like it's pushing it.
It's absolutely season pushing. Also, persimmons, no thank you. They're very tannic. I don't know how to cook a persimmon. I'm gonna admit it right now. Every time I've messed with persimmons,
yeah, you make it into like a pudding cake.
Yeah, but how do you get rid of the... Please, somebody send an email to us about persimmons and getting the tannins out.
There was a Thanksgiving a couple years ago where there was this guy, and he had Thanksgiving down the street, and some chef, he made a persimmon pavlova. And it was very delicious.
It really rolls off the tongue.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a pawpaw. Oh my gosh, I have something for you.
Excuse me?
We're going to do something live.
Wow. A carver jack-o'-lantern?
No, even better. We're going to cut open a pawpaw.
That's awesome.
So we're going to perform surgery live here on Life's a Bank with the podcast.
Fabulous. That's incredible.
I forgot to tell you, when Zara was gone, I used her car and I went up to Huntington. We have to talk about this.
Out to Huntington.
Huntington. And Preston and I were like, let's just go to the city.
That's where my parents live. P.S. It's in Long Island.
Mm-hmm. And so Zara's like, yeah, use the car whenever. So I go. It's like a super quick drive.
Yeah.
So beautiful. And we went to Holiday House, the thrift shop.
Great.
And then we picked walnuts. We met the woman in the thrift shop. She's like, well, you got to go over there. She's like, go around Great Neck Road. If you hit the walnut, you go on too far. Like, she's like, they have some really nice black walnut trees. She's like, they're in very good shape. Trust me.
That's
like,
awesome.
She's like telling us the thing. And sure enough, we go around the bend and found the most beautiful black walnuts, which are still in
the back.
They're
still in my car, I noticed. I was like, what the hell's going on back
here?
So
if you remember back to our nut episode, I gave a brief history of what to do with black walnuts. They fall all over the ground right now. They smell wonderful, but don't touch them because your hands will be stained orange. And then you have to let them dry out, I think for a couple months. It's something ridiculous like that. We live in New York. Out of my 190 square feet of available walking space in my apartment, I'm not going to devote 2 of those feet. But I am. I'm going to do it.
Are you trying to ask me right now if you can dry the walnuts at my house?
Maybe. I know you have that nice storage unit on the top. It wouldn't be too long. Just a couple months. By Thanksgiving, I'll have some of my cookies.
That's totally fine. I'm happy to do it. But I'm going to need in writing that I get to have a cookie, because something you guys might not know out there, Brett never, ever, ever gives me any of his delicious food.
I need to be held accountable so that I complete this project.
Okay.
Because Zara knows me. I start a lot of projects.
Yeah.
I have like the Einstein thing where...
Einstein.
I have the Leonardo da Vinci thing where I start all these projects, but I need people to finish them before me. It's true.
Oh, who is that over there? Is that Leonardo da Vinci?
Oh my God, he looks just like him. Have you seen my inventions for my futuristic helicopter? Oh, also, I've created a violin. You just need to... Anyway, so...
Holy shit. That's funny.
So, listen, and then let's see. Today, I was just thinking about black walnuts and pumpkins.
Mm.
I saw something for pumpkin spice. Hummus.
Give me a break.
Kids, you've gone too far.
Are you kidding me?
You
I'm leaving doggone America for good.
Took advantage of the pumpkin spice latte.
Pumpkin spice hummus?
Pumpkin spice hummus.
Give me a break.
Give me a break.
Also, I'm extremely, like, you know, into being creative. I remember one year at Brucey, we always used to do a pig's head special when we get in a whole pig. So we would, like, do the pig's head for, like, a group. And one year we did pumpkin spice latte pig's head.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was funny.
That's fun.
And it was, like, you know, had pumpkin spices on it, which are, like, nutmeg, allspice, cloves, whatever. We, like cured it in that, basically. And then roasted it, and then we served it with some kind of, like, I don't know, Jameson cream something.
Oh, my God, that sounds lovely.
And it came with, we served it with shots of Jameson.
Oh, my God, that sounds fun. I forgot to tell you, with the first cold day last week, I mulled some cider,
which
we're doing right now, right in my kitchen. Mulled cider, you were just said all those warm spices. Mm-hmm. So if you want to mulled cider at home or red wine or something, or make pumpkin spice, go ahead. Just put, you know, you need the nutmeg.
Absolutely.
I didn't put nutmeg in my cider because I couldn't find it.
You know what? Too much nutmeg can be lethal.
Yeah, be careful.
Yeah.
And
don't
people
have
said it
with a cup of nutmeg.
And so I mulled some cider and I put some quinces in them.
Ooh.
And so I let that cook down and I cooked it down for a full day.
Oh my God.
Fridged it overnight, reheated the next day, had my friend Maya over. I happened to get a bottle of 151 rum from the they had it left over. So I poured that and flambéed it. And I served my friend Maya flambéed cider and she's like, "You are such
a
faggot."
You're amazing.
Sorry, we can't say those words.
You can say it because you're gay.
Don't say that word. It's a reclamation word and it's okay. Children, if you've heard that, it's fine. It's a fabulous word. Okay. Are we going to get down to brass tacks?
I think we should. So today, guys, our topic for today is Halloween.
Because
for obvious reasons. So instead of actually doing stories, Brenton and I are just going to read The Raven.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was a cold night. Yeah.
Do you want to start or should I start?
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean,
okay, we're going to do highs and lows.
I know.
Okay, fine. I'm doing the high this week, so I'll go last. You are doing the low, so you go first.
Mm-hmm. As I swallow this chocolate.
Uh-huh.
I am reminded suddenly of my topic.
Really?
And it was weird that it kind of rhymed like that.
It is weird. Hopefully you rhymed
chocolate
the rest of it.
Topic. That's a cheap rhyme.
Chocolate
so check
topic
this out. So I'm eating some dark chocolate. Oh, and I just happen to have a spoonful of peanut butter.
What the hell? Did you do this on purpose?
No. I'm actually trying to lose 15 pounds.
By eating a whole jar of peanut butter and a brick of chocolate.
Listen, we all have our problems, okay? Let me work on mine. I want to lose 15 pounds, cutting the fat. I'm thinking about chocolate. I'm thinking about peanut butter. You think about Halloween. What are the colors of Halloween?
Orange and blue.
let's take this podcast seriously. Let's try this again, Zara.
Okay.
What are the colors of Halloween for our listeners?
Black and orange.
Okay.
Black and orange.
Basically, black and orange is the color of chocolate and peanut butter.
Yeah, and also the color of a tiger.
If you're on acid. If you're on acid, that's the color that I see. And by the way, there's actually no true way to tell if we're seeing the same colors. We don't know that. So
that's true.
Anyway, so I think of orange and black. Chocolate and peanut butter, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're basically the same. It's like the pumpkin color. That's why pumpkin spice sold, because it was orange and black. They were like, pumpkin spice with black coffee. I mean,
that's very smart.
No brainer. Marketing. Go ahead. You can pay me later. I consult. side hustle is consulting for
Big Pumpkin.
I'm calling myself a professional vibologist. Like, just,
oh,
I'll tell
God
you the vibe of your whole company.
Okay, good.
So anyway, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about chocolate and peanut butter cups, and I thought, oh my God, I love Reese's. That makes me think of Halloween. And
100% agree.
Reese's peanut butter cups and Reese's pieces.
Pieces.
But I'm like a diehard Reese's peanut butter cup.
Me too.
And I love the seasonal little packaging you get.
Love it.
So that, quite a fascinating story about.
Please.
So first of all, who invented peanut butter?
God.
Well, I heard
Jimmy
somewhere
Carter.
That, yeah, it's probably the Aztecs and the Incas, aliens invented everything. But then later it was resurfaced.
Okay.
Much like the Book of Mormon. And there is, golden glasses, Google it, Joseph Ba-dum-bum. Smith. So there is Dr. Kellogg apparently sold peanut paste as an alternative for protein.
Kellogg, the anti-masturbator?
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Let's move on to our story by Dr. Kellogg.
Oh my God, he was probably doing the whole, I bet he had a peanut butter dog situation happening.
Peanut butter dog situation. If you don't know it, Google it right now. Press the pause button. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, so now this is a story of Mr. Reese. Yes, it's true. He was a Mr.
Wow.
Harry Burnett.
Harry Burnett.
But I think he was known as HB, because why wouldn't he be HB, right?
Absolutely.
And he was a Gemini, born in 1879.
Okay.
Right, so 1879. I won't give you the full history, but he was kind of a cool guy. He was a farmer. He did lots of stuff. He ended up meeting his wife, and they had 16 children. That's a lot of babies.
I don't even understand.
That's basically
what you're saying.
During your years of giving birth,
you're only pregnant.
She's only pregnant for the whole time.
How is that vagina even like?
I don't know, but he was so he listen. This guy was a worker, and he had a family, and he wanted to support his family. And I mean, come on, 16 kids. The wife is like either pregnant or constantly caring for a school of children.
Yeah, he needs to make like $100 million
a year. So he's a farmer. He was from Pennsylvania, right? And I mentioned he was a Gemini. I'm a Gemini. Anyway, so he worked at some Frosty Hill, something. Frosty, that's where he's from. Frosty Hill, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And then he got in the fishing business, right? When he's like 20, 25, something like that. And he's in the fishing business, and that didn't work out. Then he took a factory job. It's like, okay, whatever. Whatever I got to do to support my family.
Right.
Then
17 mounts to feed.
So then he was promoted to manager. Now, he's almost 40 here. This is like where the story picks up.
Okay.
I was almost 40. He's like, what the hell? I mean, I'm just paraphrasing what's going on in his mind.
Totally.
As a current 40-year-old with wondering when this damn podcast is going to take off. It is. And so he decides to make his own candy company.
Okay.
He's like, this farm or something that happened, it went under. So he's like, oh my God, here I am back at the drawing board.
Right.
So he starts his own candy company. Right.
Wow.
He makes chocolate in its basement. Chocolate covered raisins, chocolate covered almonds.
Yeah.
Fluffs. And, oh, you know what? And he made, I'll get to this later. And so it flops.
Yeah.
My God. Like, come on. I opened the candy company, all my children. And
yeah. A lot of people don't like raisins. I think it's a big mistake to make raisins the crux of your business.
So listen. So the company flops. This is where I'm at now. Like our restaurants, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, they're gone. And then you're like, oh shoot, I gotta like, he goes back to a paper mill, factory worker.
Wow.
From being your own boss. We know what that's like.
Yeah.
We're totally. Still our own boss.
And he has
damn
like
it.
A basement full of like chocolate covered raisins. He's like, what am I gonna do with all these?
So then he gets a job. Oh, interesting. He gets a job at the Hershey factory in the shipping department.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yep. A job in the the Hershey factory. So then something happens, and he's like thinking. He said that he thought while he was working on a farm, a dairy farm that was owned by Hershey, he said, you know, if this chocolate company can sell millions like every day and every week, and because Hershey was a very big company at that time.
Sure.
He said, I bet I can do enough to just pay for my own bills. Wow. That's what he said to himself. He's got fervor. He learned from his mistakes. He had a few years to process this. He's like, I am going to make candy again in my basement. And then suddenly he named it after his daughter, the Lizzie Bar, the Johnny Bar.
Aww.
And people thought it was really cute. In fact, he used his children and his whole family as one of his marketing slogans. And it said 16 cute or something like 16 good reasons to eat candy, or, you know, his candy.
Oh, that's cute. That's good.
So, yeah. I think he had changed the name. His first candy company that failed was called R&R Candy Company.
Okay.
Didn't work out. So then now things are picking up. He's making money. He's like, what the heck is going on? This is his dreams coming. It's true, right? And he says 1928. I don't know how I could not find parts of the story, but he's like, oh, we'll throw this chocolate peanut butter cup. He had an assortment, and he would sell boxes of candy.
Whoa, like a Russell Stover kind of thing.
Like a Russell Stover kind of a thing. Box of candy. It was an assortment. He would sell it pre-packaged to department stores. And check this out. So now it's getting good. And he hand-dipped all of the chocolate. And picture this, folks. 1920s. And ladies, 4 ladies per marble table is how the story reads, are in window shops in Pennsylvania. and dipping, hand dipping.
Fun.
And they're probably making, have like fabulous outfits, and people are walking by and they're like, we're hand dipping your chocolate peanut butter cup.
That's so classy.
Classy, right?
Pure class.
Oh,
yeah.
God. So, and then, so he starts, you know, doing these peanut butter cups and people are loving them. It's like the favorite thing, you know, when you get.
Absolutely.
Like nobody likes the raspberry fluff thing.
Agreed.
You know, the like raspberry. Nougat. You bite in.
I like the nougat. You say nougat?
No nougat.
Nobody likes the nougat.
You've not. Oh, you not heard of nougat? Just frustrated. So check this out. So, the factory's going. Things are happening. 1942. Yeah. World War II.
Oh,
he's
shit.
Got a. He can only focus on one product.
Oh my god!
So they're like, because I think factories were forced to make war things.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. I sound very war yeah. things.
War things like Madeline. Bandoliers and
guns
rocks.
And strapping bolts for men traversing across France and Germany and all parts of the Japanese forefront. Okay, so check this out. So then he focuses on. The chocolate peanut, the winner.
The one that everybody picked out first.
The winner. So, you know, now that's basically the story. Now,
smart.
Listen, this is sort of our low. I guess the whole point of the story, the low, is like this guy worked his butt off farming, doing whatever he had to do.
Yeah.
Gave it a go, which is actually kind of sad. And then finally, when his company was really going and Hershey's acquired it, they were really good friends. Hershey supplied the chocolate for the peanut butter.
Oh, really?
And check this out. Luck behold him that during the World War II, there were rations on food, but not peanut butter. So he got lucky.
Really?
Mm-hmm, he got lucky.
Why do you think that is? Because peanuts are cheap?
I guess so. And so now listen to this. This is where it's a little bit of a tragedy.
I'm listening.
He decides to move his factory into the state-of-the-art facility in 1957, I think, and he dies of a heart attack suddenly in 1956.
Oh, my God.
Never saw his final factory as we knew it.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He was 77.
That's funny.
Which is in a heart attack. But still, I think, like, he was going. I guess he was a healthy guy. But the best part about the story was that he, when he built his factory, he bought an area on the eastern coast of
Pennsylvania?
No, Maryland.
Okay.
Probably, but he was in the fishing business, so he knew a little bit about this. And he had all of his employees could use it for $1 a day, and they would have meals and lavish. They could have like country walks. It was like a little retreat for his employees.
That's amazing.
And he treated everybody well. So let that be a lesson to
so
all you.
He was a good dude, but
good
then
dude.
He, you know, I wonder what kind of like now that Hershey's chocolate, don't sue us. In my opinion, is not of the best quality.
Oh.
It's almost like plastic.
Yes, we're not really going to.
I still love peanut butter cups, but I wonder if, like, back in the day, like, how much better a peanut butter cup was than it is now. I mean, it's already pretty fucking
delicious. I wonder,
delicious.
Like, perhaps the chocolate was purer, perhaps they put, like, less fillers in after the 1950s. Like, in the 1920s,
yes,
what did that chocolate taste like?
Exactly, that's what I want to know. And, like, that being said, like, I love it now. Like, I have no issues with it, but I am just saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's that. So anyway, I guess the long story short, and check this out, there's, you won't even believe these numbers. 1.8 billion shares of Hershey's provide annual cash dividends of, this is according to Wikipedia,
yeah.
My number one source for hot news information, cash dividends of $42 million a year. And it's $2.6 billion of sales
just on the peanut butter
cups? On Reese's peanut butter cups. This is insane,
folks.
Oh, my
God. That's incredible.
So there you go. Chocolate peanut butter. Who would have thought, you know?
I mean, it's a really great... like, is there a better combination than chocolate peanut butter?
It's the candy I'm taking to my grave.
Peanut butter does have a lot of other good combinations, though, because it's like peanut butter and jelly, obviously.
Yeah.
Peanut butter banana. Delicious.
Thai peanut sauce.
Yeah.
Like, don't even get me started.
But I mean, peanut butter and chocolate is probably one of my favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
A Reese's peanut butter cup is absolutely my favorite candy. And I just want to put out there, I don't know if anybody remembers this. I don't think they're still around, but there used to be peanut butter cups that had a piece of like cookie in the bottom.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole list of all the things.
Do you have any like weird ones on there?
I don't know. I know I should have looked, but there was like white peanut butter cups. There was
I don't like
double
the white
crunch,
ones.
Double stuff, double high. You know, chocolate bits.
The regular
bits.
One is good. Although, you know what? I also really like the fun size ones actually have like a great texture to them.
Well, originally he had developed them in 1, 3, and 5 penny versions. Of
oh,
cups.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you could get like.
Sorry.
I'm
That was for OnlyFans.com.
Wow.
Join our Patreon page and you can find out more about peanut butter cups.
That is amazing.
You can find out my favorite way to eat a peanut butter cup when my puppy is right next to me. Whoa, weird. Zara.
That's a great story.
Right? I want to hear, what the hell do you have?
Okay, so the high
I don't like to swear. I'm so sorry.
You do swear a lot outside of the podcast.
I don't swear in public. I do?
Absolutely. I'm going to fix this right now. You swear a lot. You say fuck all the time.
Oh my God.
And bitch and cunt a lot. You say cunt often.
Oh my God. Dude, you're not supposed to be telling people this.
Whatever. This is the behind the scenes. This is the behind the music.
Well,
Brett and
you're
Scott
supposed to pay for this.
Can't stop saying cunt.
Who the fuck did that? I apologize.
Oh my God. Like Sue Simmons?
Sue Simmons. There was that woman. I apologize for my behavior. I have been very stressed at work lately, and I took it out on you listeners, and from this point forward, I have turned over new leaf and my positive affirmations. Dude. You're right. Go ahead.
Sue Simmons. Okay. So the high that I want to discuss this week, since on our Halloween creepy episode, is about the famous actor Vincent Price.
Oh.
Does everybody know Vincent Price? I feel like some of you listening might not. But you all do, whether you think you do or you don't. Vincent Price was very famous in between like the 50s and I want to say late 70s was the kind of the height of his career. Although his last film is probably what you guys all know him the best for was Edward Scissorhands.
I mean, he made the, well, everybody made the movie in that one. But it was all perfect. Yeah.
Very interesting. I'm not doing it well. An amazing Vincent Price thing when I was like looking through stuff that I had forgotten about. Did you ever see on Saturday Night Live when Bill Hader did Vincent Price and he would do Vincent Price's like Halloween special and have like, it's, we have to watch it after this. It's
perfect.
Pretty much the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. He's trying to like throw a Halloween special and like no one's playing along and like Fred Armisen plays Liberace. And each one.
Oh my gosh, it's perfect.
It's really funny. All right. So anyway, Vincent Price was kind of like the master of, in ways of horror. He was in a lot of like interesting like B horror movies. Mm-hmm. He's also the voice in Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Of course. That's what everybody, you know.
He was obsessed with Edgar Allan Poe and like Red the Raven. And, you know, he's been.
He had a wonderful narrator's voice.
He did. And it was very high. Kind of. It was like. High and low at the same time. It was like a little. I can't do
very
it.
Very musical. Yeah.
It was very theatrical.
Yes. Nobody can recreate that except.
What we might not know about Vincent Price.
What don't we know?
Is that he was also a gourmand.
A gourmand, you say? He loved food and
he
beverages.
He loved food. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about the background of this wonderful man. And I will also tell you about what a wonderful man he was. He was like a great, great human being. So we all know, anyone that knows Vincent Price knows him for horror. I was actually surprised to find out when I came over here maybe like 6 months ago, and I read this like amazing book you have, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, of like fabulous recipes, and it said Vincent Price on it, and I was like, Vincent Price like wrote a cookbook? And I couldn't believe it. So anyway, Vincent Leonard.
I found that book at the Strand.
You did?
Yeah, years ago.
How much was it?
Like $2.
Really?
Yeah, it was on the bargain hunt.
That's amazing.
Well, it was out of print back then, and they put it back, so it used to be worth
$50.
Yeah.
I tried to order a used copy from Amazon. It's $50. So Vincent Leonard Price Jr., born May 27th, 1911, died October 25th, 1993.
Right before Halloween. Wait, he died in 93?
Yeah. He died right after they made...
Wow, he's been gone that long.
I know. He died right after they made Edward Scissorhands.
I feel like he's still alive. I know that sounds weird.
He's alive in all of our hearts.
And the Michael Jackson song.
Absolutely. And Edward Scissorhands. So he's born and raised near St. Louis, Missouri. He came into food. His grandfather developed like a cream of tartar based baking powder.
Yes.
And his dad actually was the head of the president of the National Candy Company.
Really?
Yeah. Which like, I don't really even know what that was, but I just kind of think it's really funny. Like, first of all, that you just did Reese's, and second of all, that like
the National Candy Company,
and like Halloween. He's like been spooky since forever. So he started off in the late 30s as a character actor and was kind of just popping up and ghouling around in different things. His first film is a movie called Service Deluxe in 1938. And he also played one of his most famous roles was playing Egghead in Batman, in the old Batman series. And I thought this was amazingly funny. So with the one with Adam West and Burt Ward. And so after they would finish shooting a take, since his character is Egghead, he would take like a dozen eggs or more and start just like pelting the different like cast members with eggs.
That kind of hurts.
Yeah, because he was Egghead and they would
kind
like,
of is the
and they would be like, they'd be like, stop it, Vincent Price, stop throwing eggs at everyone. And he would do this every single time he was in a scene, which was every time they shot. And so they would be like, Vincent Price, stop that. And he would respond, quote, with a full artillery, not a chance. And then everyone would just have an egg fight.
An egg fight?
Yeah. So
well,
he would cause egg fights.
That?
I know. He was a menace to society, and he was just running around like a cute little boy on the set. I mean, he was a grown man, but...
Wait, how old was he then?
Like a human grown-up. He was like in his, I don't know, 30s or 40s, probably.
Really?
Yeah.
As a full-on adult.
Full adult, just like
some
playing
gray
with
hair,
eggs.
Yeah, gray chest hair is beginning to start.
Yeah, so anyway, he was a horror film icon. He was most famously known for The House of Wax, and then, of course, The House on Haunted Hill, which
the original
one was
of
his like biggest role. So anyway, he was also very involved in the art world, and he did what I thought was kind of like this really interesting side fact. He ended up working for Sears Roebuck, for like, or just Sears as we know it, and he compiled a whole thing of like art of prints of like the most famous artists like Dolly, Whistler, Picasso, and they would come in these like gorgeous like perfect frames.
Oh, that's
and
really.
He hawked them, and people could buy them like on layaway.
Really?
Yeah, because he was like involved with art his whole life, and
that
so
cool.
He
so
decided to do that.
Kind of like the modern, you know, Vincent Van Gogh at Target.
Exactly. Yeah.
Except much classier.
Much classier. But I was wondering, I'm like, oh my God, I wonder if you could, I mean, obviously you could probably find that, but I would do anything for like a Van Gogh print that
Vincent Price had
like curated.
Yeah, exactly. A collectible from Sears, what year, in like 1950 something?
I think it was in the 60s.
60s.
I think I would pay more for that than I would for like an actual Van Gogh.
Oh,
it's
my
just so
God.
Cool, right? We if anybody out there has one, please send it to me.
Yeah, for free. Thank you.
So later in life, in like the 60s, he reveals to the world that he's a gourmand.
Right.
And
is he making a lot of money by this point?
He's making a lot of money.
He's close to
50, made it.
Right?
He's making movies. He made tons of movies.
He was fully a successful Hollywood actor.
Yeah. Married three times.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
keep
his middle wife was the one that he... Actually, it was really funny. I was watching the... I'll tell you about it later, but I was watching this Johnny Carson clip, and he made some, like, joke. I have to look up what the quote is. I'll put it on our Instagram. But the quote was, like, really funny. It was about something, like, not being able to keep something in his pants. He made, like, a sex joke. It was amazing.
Vincent.
Yeah. And then Johnny Carson was like, me neither.
Not only was he a gourmand of food.
Yeah. He's like, look at this eggplant. Look at this freaking eggplant. Yeah. He turned into Rodney Dangerfield all of a sudden. So in 1965, his wife Mary and him put out this cookbook that you have called The Treasury of Great Recipes. And it is a leather-bound book.
Yes.
That has hundreds and hundreds of recipes and old vintage menus, which is like Brett and I's like favorite thing ever, a good vintage menu.
If I could put my personality and yours too, I guess, into a book form it would be that book.
Yeah. It's incredible. So he has recipes from all over the world and a lot in America and a lot in New York. And then he gets the old menu and then he gets the recipe from the restaurant. So it's not like a cookbook that he wrote himself, but it is incredible. If anyone has an extra $50 lying around, buy it. It's really, really cool. It's very special. I was reading through some of the menus before with Brett, and like every single one has like, they're all like 60s menus. They all have tomato juice on as the first course. It's like, you can get caviar or tomato juice.
When my very first Bret and Buttered video, which you can Google on YouTube, I feature the book as my favorite cookbook. And
Oh, really?
Specifically to point to my favorite, which was the Whitehall, I think.
Yeah.
And it was called the Whitehall Chocolate Roll.
Yes. A chocolate roll.
They have that
fabulous
recipe in that book.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And when I opened my restaurant, that was the first dessert I put on.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
I modified
so awesome.
The recipe, but yeah.
That's really, really cool. I was actually wondering, I went to, whatchamacallit? What the hell is that restaurant?
Like my mom. Like, you know, the thing and the thing.
No,
that
my
one
brain.
Place.
The lobster, not the lobster club, the grill. I went to the grill a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, the waiter was talking to me about how Mario Carbone researched like all of this stuff for like years, coming up with the recipes they have at the grill. Cause it's like as a retro vibe without being too, I don't know. It's good. I really enjoyed it. But then when I was reading through this cookbook, I'm like, I wonder how much of this,
probably
this
a
must
lot.
Have been a
there
big
was
inspiration.
A couple chefs in Denver when I was there that had done two nights of many of the recipes from this book.
Oh, really?
In fact, they might have even cooked through the whole book over the course. I can't remember the exact thing.
That's
but
amazing.
I think they own a restaurant called Rioja.
Oh, wow.
Which is in Denver. Very popular.
That's so cool. I was really missing Brucey, actually, because I was like, you know what? This would have been a perfect thing to do for Halloween this year. And just done a
menu. Of course. Yeah, I mean, you could just... It's so fun.
Yeah. So, anyway, he does that book. And then he and his wife, Mary and Vincent Price, present a national treasury of cookery. So it's basically the same thing, except it's just American restaurants. And then they do, Mary and Vincent Price, Come into the Kitchen Cookbook, A Collector's Treasury of America's Great Recipe. Again, a very similar book. All these three first ones are all pretty much the same. So 1965, 1967, 1969, they're just like putting out cookbooks. And then in 1971, he puts out a book on his own with his own recipes called Cooking Price Wise with Vincent Price.
I don't have that book.
I just ordered it.
What? You ordered it? You beat me to it?
Yeah.
If anybody has that book, FedEx next day it to me. I need it by tomorrow.
It's coming to me tonight.
I need a courier service in New York. Find it to me.
It's
Bring
coming
it to me
now. Tonight.
Here it is.
So there. Cooking Price Wise, the whole thing about like the Cooking Price Wise book, which I thought was really, really interesting and amazing, is that he wanted to make sure that he could kind of translate to the world that there was other to Americans, that there were other flavors and other ingredients that they were missing. But the whole thing was that he needed all the recipes to be able to be accessible from things you could buy from the supermarket.
Oh, yes,
so
of
he
course.
Was like,
very practical.
He was very practical.
Okay.
He was a gourmand and he had fancy taste, but he wasn't a snob. He was also like for the everyman. He was he really was the
because
perfect human.
Because I think
human.
he worked his way. He was probably a nobody at one point.
He
know?
Wasn't like a dick. Like he wasn't like, oh, I'm writing this like fabulous thing of world recipes. He was very down to earth from what I can
D-T-E.
Gauge. Yeah. Like even when he's doing these like other cookbooks with like all of the most fabulous fancy restaurants in the world, he was still
put that chocolate roll recipe in there.
Yeah. But he would still write like in the, you know, little excerpts and stuff. Like just his language was that this is fun to aspire to.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't get here, that's okay.
I read the introduction last week.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
Really?
It's very 1960s. It's not. It talks about equality of men and women, but then it talks about how the ladies were like this and the men, you know, it's just.
Oh, right.
It is very traditional. Yeah. I mean, that was, you know, totally. Very Hollywood Regency, folks.
Yeah. He was really an awesome
there
guy.
There is a couple pictures of his kitchen in that cookbook.
Oh,
which
my God.
Google image that right now. I'll put some up on the Instagram.
Okay, cool.
On
the old Instagram and we're.
I'll put them on the Instagram. I don't know why it just suddenly talked.
Pets.com. So he's quoted when he's talking about describing this Cooking Price Wise book. Yes. He goes, quote, people always seem afraid of food from other countries. They'll eat spaghetti, for instance, if it comes out of a tin, chopped up short and smothered in tomato sauce. But the real thing, no matter how available it is quite beyond them. So that sounds kind of like a little bit like judgy, but really like that's just the first part of the quote. And then it goes on to say about how he.
Oh, that is really. That's
he just
really
wanted
cool.
to
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
He wanted to get people to like learn about
be
food.
Be curious.
Yeah, he wanted people to be curious. So I'll just go through a couple of the chapters: potato recipes, meat recipes, bacon recipes, rice recipes, cheese recipes, coffee, the culinary legacy of the Price family, the beginning of the Price family culinary legacy, Vincent's culinary journey begins. The culinary legacy continues.
Wait, those are the chapters.
Yeah.
In the Price Wise cookbook.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Fast forward to life. I need to see this cookbook.
I know. I can't wait. So anyway, he was just like a good dude. So he also was kind of like one of the first people that introduced the celebrity element of cooking and famous chefs.
Yes.
Into, like, translated that. So with the first cookbook that him and his wife put out, it was like going to restaurants they liked, getting the recipes, and, you know, mingling with the chefs,
talking with the staff. Exactly.
He was kind of like the pioneer of food entertainment.
Like a pre, who was the, what did Anthony Bourdain said? He goes, somebody already did this before me. I don't remember. He was talking about people that have already done that.
Right. He was just like really on the cusp of like realizing he was on, you know, one of the first people to realize that there was a thing there of like the taking the chef from behind the kitchen and making them a star.
Yes.
So then he also did the cooking Price Wise in a television show, which is impossible to find. There, it is nowhere.
We are going to have to contact. There's some website called like Retro TV.
Okay.
Because they were the only. Retro TV has access to a lot of old things, and they had the Deani Lucas cooking show.
Oh, wow.
Which I will talk about. I think I might have mentioned it, but we'll talk. That's a whole different.
How
topic.
Fun. Yeah, we need to get to see this because I couldn't find any. It was nowhere. But
well,
I...
listen, if anybody knows out there, if you're listening, and if you internet savvy hunter, treasure finder people, you can just DM us on Instagram or lifesabanquetshow@gmail.com.
I would do anything. But I did find two videos of him cooking. The first one that I found was of him and Wolfgang Puck, who basically in this video, which must have been in like, I don't know, the early 80s,
yes,
looked like Roseanne Barr.
Wait,
like
he did?
Yeah, he just like looked like a tubby housewife.
I didn't know he got fat. I picture him as so
slender. He had like a bowl cut, and he was like wearing like a lavender shirt, and he was with Vincent Price. It's so funny. And they make like salmon with a red wine sauce and like garnished with like little bits of chopped tomatoes. I was like, this is so... Wolfgang Puck was like one of the first like majorly famous celebrity chefs.
And he put chopped tomatoes on it
as a garnish and like curly parsley. I couldn't even deal. But Vincent Price was so charming and funny and fun. The second I mentioned earlier, it was when he was on Johnny Carson. Guess what he makes?
What?
He makes trout steamed in the dishwasher.
What?
Yes.
That sounds like something. Okay.
Sorry, that was very loud.
So we'll
he makes trout. He makes trout steamed in the dishwasher.
That is fantastic.
He wraps it up in foil and places and puts some lemon slices inside of it. And then steams it in the old dishwasher.
Yeah, on the heat cycle.
And then they eat it.
There you go.
It's
clean.
Yeah.
And it's super clean.
Yeah, another thing that he, like I noticed in both these shows, like he's like cooking and he's also wearing like an oven mitt on his hand like the entire time. He never takes it off.
Well, he probably had a nasty burn at some point.
Yeah, at some point he did. So his daughter Victoria was the one who kind of like brought back like reissuing these cookbooks.
I know. I tried to contact her.
Yes. You were saying that.
She has a talk. She was on a podcast.
Yes. So she was on a talk on NPR, and this is where I kind of got some of these quotes from.
Yes. Nice.
She says of her mother was wonderful at seating people next to the right person with whom they needed to connect. And my father always brought such joy to every occasion. People felt special, cared for, connected, and like they had shared an incredible experience of their dinner parties.
So we need to be like Vincent Price.
I mean,
all of us.
He sounds like the most incredible person, really, of all time. So anyway, he also recorded a bunch of audio cooking tutorials like Dinner in Versailles, Delights from the Sultan's Pantry, Dinner at the Casbah, Classic Spanish Cuisine, The Bard's Board and Walk.
That's another cookbook he has?
Food Classic? Of the Gods. These are all audio cooking tutorials.
Audio cooking
Which I think is kind of maybe something we should do.
Okay, we need to
find... If anyone wants us to do that, please.
We actually... I have a whole business plan available for $149 for your three easy installments of $149 10 times a year.
Amazing. Then he also, Brenton, he recorded an audio wine course. You want to know what it was called?
What was it called?
Guess.
The Price Guide to Wine.
No, it was called Wine is Elegance.
Well, how about that?
I mean, he was really incredible. And then he was also, like, super outspoken, like, politically. He said on an old-time radio episode, he denounced racial and religious prejudice as a form of poison and claimed that Americans must actively fight against it because racial and religious prejudice within the United States fuels support for the nation's enemies.
Well,
he was also supportive of his daughter, Victoria, who was, came out as a lesbian. And he was an honorary board member of PFLAG, Parents and Families and Friends of Lesbians and Gays.
He's gay friendly on top of it.
Yes. And his daughter also said that she thinks he like had relationships with men.
Well, well now we get
which
to...
is great. He was just like a really, he was a Renaissance man and he died of lung cancer on October 25th, 1993 at UCLA Medical Center at the ripe age of 82.
82.
And he also has 2 stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and 1 star on the St. Louis Walk of Fame.
Well, that's a secret. That's like the real actors go.
Yeah. Anyway, so I just thought like he had such a, he was such an interesting guy. Like he wanted to be spooky and scary and he was, but he was also so like unhelpably like sweet and tender.
He was a lover of life.
He loved life.
Mm-hmm.
He was the most awesome. Like, may we all be a little bit more like Vincent Price every day.
May we all be like Vincent Price.
He's my patron saint.
Yeah.
Next to Auntie Mame.
What two nice guys, right?
The two nice guys. I wonder if they knew each other.
H.B. Reese. I don't know. Maybe, you know. Yeah. H.B. Reese. They're like, oh, how do you make your chocolate?
Maybe they cross paths in Big Candy, in the candy world, in Candyland.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, you know, my father... you remember Mr. Price back from 1895? He was your president. Oh, I do remember that. Well, so that is just something else, right?
Amazing, right?
Well, I am so excited right now. I'm going to get ready to listen to... I'm going to try to find those,
I know, we
those
have
audio
to.
Recordings.
We have to. So, top five this week. What do you think? Top five favorite... Or top three, rather.
Top three favorite candies.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry, you first.
Okay. I guess my third favorite...
And we can't say peanut butter cups because we already talked about it today.
Okay, fine. That's a given. It's everybody's favorite. Mm-hmm. I guess number three, Milky Way Dark.
Okay.
Number two... Peanut M&M's.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, mm-hmm. which I actually might like even better than peanut butter cups.
Yes.
Butterfinger.
Butterfinger.
What the fuck is a Butterfinger?
Layers of foyatine crisp crunchness with maybe peanuts?
It's kind of like too classy to be a candy bar. Like, it's actually way more complex than I think anyone gives it credit for.
Gosh,
it's
darn it.
Fabulous. What? It's so crazy.
Okay. My top three candies are number three, Sour Patch Gummy Worms.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Wow.
Yeah, don't judge.
I'm not. I just didn't realize they had gummy worms.
Number two, Reese's Pieces.
Oh, God, I love a Reese's Pieces.
I know. I really do. And
really good.
Number one, I'm just because I'm, like, trying to retain my youth and pretend I'm a millennial and, like, a throwback person. Pop Rocks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That is your number one favorite candy?
No, but I just
you
right
just
now
just want to say it.
I just want to say it.
Okay, cool.
But Pop Rocks are really listen, everybody. Pop Rocks are cool.
What's your least favorite candy? On the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
The Neckos.
Tootsie Rolls.
Oh.
Tootsie Rolls.
I was a waiter at the Ritz-Carlton in Chicago. I've mentioned it before. And I waited on the heir of the Tootsie Roll factory, and she kind of looked like a Tootsie Roll. She was like short and squat, and she was nasty, and she lived upstairs, and she like lived in the hotel. And
oh my God,
she was very fussy. But I try to make my way into her little Tootsie Roll heart.
Oh,
it's like you put her in your pocket.
How
long
many
enough,
licks did it take to get to the center of that?
Of a
Tootsie Roll
pop. I never found out. I was young and didn't know I didn't know my powers yet.
I like Tootsie Pops though.
Tootsie Pops. So
Tootsie Pops are delicious.
What are we gonna leave our fabulous listeners with? What are we gonna talk about? What should we be focusing on?
Chef recommends.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your recommend?
I guess our chef recommends this week could be tips on how to throw a fun adult Halloween. Like situation.
Yes.
Like, what
I was about to say,
adults?
How to make an edible cadaver.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Or what? How would you cook yourself if you had to be?
We already did this.
We
one.
Never did it. It never aired.
We never aired.
It never aired.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
You know what? Here's the deal. Let's go through this really quick. How to throw a fun Halloween party for adults? I don't know. Get some whiskey. Throw out candy at some children.
Here's the deal. Halloween for a party for adults. You're gonna want to get. Are we dressing up or not? Just have a fall. What do they call that?
Dress up like something cute, not sexy. This year I'm going to be a koala bear.
I don't know. I have to think about it.
Is that adorable?
You're really going to be a koala bear?
Absolutely.
I think I'm going to be a kitty cat.
Perfect.
I'm going to be a kitty cat. I'm just going to commit right now.
Okay, let's get down to the real thing of our chef recommends, though, this week. A spooky recommend.
How would you cook yourself if you were your own chef? Well, Breton, since you... All right, this is the chef talking.
Yeah.
Breton, you've put on a few pounds, but you have lovely marbled body fat right now, but you also have some nice muscles, so let's see. Aha, yes. So what I will do is sever the body in three parts.
Oh.
The head will be cooked separately, the chest and the abdomen will be slow braised. Shoot. And the legs will be confit and then crisped. Now, what I'm going to do is braise the belly and midsection in a really, really nice, tons of rosemary, tons of thyme.
Mm.
Right? And the head, here's a little something.
Breton's little twist.
Yep, there's my twist. We're going to make a persimmon pudding out of Breton's head. You heard it right, folks. I'm going to bake my head in the shape of a giant persimmon, right? So that's going to, so listen, so the middle's braised, the legs are being confit, but I guess the same thing.
Yeah.
The legs I'm cooking with quince.
Okay.
It's fall, so I'm kind of, you hear my theme. I'm going to do a classic, like, East Coast presentation, like quinces, like bounty fruit, tons of squash and vegetables around. Now, when I take everything back out, I'm going to present it with towers of apples.
Oh, skewered, wow.
Skewered, slow-baked, stuffed apples.
Nice.
Stuffed with the leg confit meat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So you're going to...
What about the penis?
I didn't think about that. Well, wow. Since you've asked.
Yeah.
All right. The penis will be stretched. The penis will be first salt cured and then fluffed back up. And we will scoop out the insides and make croquettes out of them.
Ooh.
So we will stuff those croquettes back into the penis.
Ding dong croquettes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Perfect.
And that's it. It's going to be beautiful. And now go ahead, Zara. I'm so curious.
Okay.
I know
mine's
she's going to do something.
Mine's very simple.
Oh, you're just simple.
I want to just be braised whole. I want the meat to be scraped off
the bone.
She
just got back from Rome. She's like, simple, easy.
Just keep it easy. Keep it simple. Braised whole with some savory, some garlic and onion, maybe a couple plum tomatoes. Mm. Maybe something sweet. Maybe some cherries.
I knew you were going to put some cherries
dry
in it.
Cherries.
I just knew it.
Listen, this is my own body that I'm cooking up.
Wouldn't be surprised if you throw some prunes in there.
Fine, and some prunes.
I knew you were going to put...
And then...
What's the twist?
Braise the whole thing, pull all the meat off the bone, and then I want it to be tossed with some pasta.
I'm actually, like, visualizing you,
I know.
You doing this to yourself, and it's very comfortable.
Oh, really?
It's very real. Go ahead.
And then I want it to be tossed with... I want to take a pumpkin, roast the pumpkin, take some of the meat out of the pumpkin,
oh
take the pumpkin
God,
seeds.
Oh, God, you went with the pumpkin.
Toast them.
Yes.
Grind them up so they're nice and crunchy. And then I want my meat to be tossed with some perfectly al dente bucatini, some bucatini, a little bit of the pumpkin, the toasted pumpkin seeds. And then I want all of that to be stuffed back inside the pumpkin and you eat it out of the pumpkin, like the roasted pumpkin, like a bowl.
Ugh, I don't know. You might have won for... Zara always has that good twist. You're like, she's like, well, I've thought about this.
Well, I haven't.
So basically, I show up to the table. I have skewered stuffed apples coming out of giant things like.
And stretched penis.
And you have a pump. You come out in a pumpkin.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, there you go, folks.
I have ajita. Thank
you. So
about
you
it.
Can talk to your. Go ahead now, everybody. Parents, moms, dads. Uncles, brothers, sisters, ask your little ones how they'd like to be cooked for Halloween. And remember, kids, Halloween candy is it's poison candy is a real thing.
It is. They did it on My Favorite Murder this week. Mm-hmm. You know the thing that we had thought about maybe doing poison candy for our topic this week, and then
so typical.
They did it on My Favorite Murder. But also, it's never been like verified. It mostly was like there was no confirmations
rumors of
anyone actually being poisoned from the candy. Most of the things were just that like people killed their children. And then they were like, they got poison candy. But it was like, no, like you poison your kid.
So there's always a Halloween killing?
Yeah. Haven't you seen the movie Ernest Scared Stupid?
No.
Let's do another top three. We have a little extra time. What are your top three favorite Halloween movies?
My top three favorite Halloween movies are... this is a tough one. I mean, Halloween.
Halloween is amazing.
I know that's so stupid and typical to say that.
It could be any scary movie. It doesn't have to be like Halloween.
I do like Jeepers Creepers.
Great.
That's
amazing.
A good one. Was it Justin Long?
I think maybe I'm making that up. Maybe.
And then my top favorite movie. Oh, I don't know. I can't say this.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. Like a Freddy. I just like the Freddy Krueger thing.
I do too.
I like the original Freddy Krueger because...
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Go and dream, and like that's really scary.
Yeah, it's really scary
to not be able to get out of your own body in your dream.
I know just recently from having jet lag, it really makes you crazy. Like not sleeping for a while, like you have to eventually go to sleep. You can't just be like, I'm not going to sleep. That is a very scary movie. Two of my favorite Halloween movies are both kids movies. Hocus Pocus.
Okay.
Ernest Scared Stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for scary movies, I have to say Pet Sematary. Or The Shining.
Pet Sematary is so scary that I walked out of the theater when I was in eighth grade.
I know. We all know this about you, and you got teased. And you were like, so fucking what? Oh, another scary movie?
Scared.
You know what I walked out of? I was very scared as a kid of everything.
That's a scared... Oh, a scaredy kitty. My kitty Whitman walked by, and he's got scared of Zara's scary noise.
What was I going to say? Oh, The Witches. That was the movie that I had to walk out of the theater from. It was like the Roald Dahl book interpretation. I remember having to like leave the theater. And I also remember going into the haunted house at Disney with my dad and my stepsister and my stepmom and crying and needing to leave and like everybody being pissed at me.
That is insane.
Yeah, I was always very scared of everything. I was so scared of stuff when I was a kid that I remember that the Gremlins preview came on the Christmas Vacation tape.
Yeah.
Because I guess Gremlins is a Christmas movie. And I had to, like, close my eyes every time up until when I was, like, a teenager.
Yeah.
And now I love scary movies.
Scary movies are great. You know what? Here's what you want. When you get a scary movie, you need a shallow bowl of popcorn.
So yes. That
and here's, this is what we're going to leave you with. Our favorite popcorn recipe.
Oh, yeah.
Preston has been devising this popcorn thing where he uses exactly 2 tablespoons of oil. And then he puts it in the pan, and as soon as it sizzles, you drop it in, then you turn the heat off, and you put the cover on, and it pops everyone perfectly.
Oh, really?
And we got some mushroom popcorn, which is that
larger,
like, when you think of, like, Garrett's popcorn from Chicago, it's that really voluptuous kernel.
Yeah, did it come out good?
Oh, my Lanta. We used Kerrygold butter, mulled and sea salt. I think I threw some rosemary in there, and it was popped perfect. I declared. I said, this is the most perfect popcorn.
I do declare.
And we watched a scary movie, and...
That's perfect.
The bowl of popcorn went flying all over.
That's amazing.
Butter-stained couch.
I think my favorite thing with my favorite popcorn, which I've been saying for a long time, and now that I'm a single woman, I can say with the utmost of confidence.
Own it, girl.
I will know when I have met my perfect man. When I go to the movies with him, and I reach into the popcorn.
Oh my God, it's like Harry Met Sally.
And his penis
is
in the pop.
Sorry,
through the bottom of the popcorn.
I meant Sleepless in Seattle. Sorry.
Yes. Did you hear what I said?
Go ahead.
I'll know that I've met my perfect man
when
I go to a movie with him and I reach for some popcorn and he's put his penis through the bottom of the popcorn.
That's Zara. There are children listening. All right. Well, folks.
You
it's
heard
out
it here
there.
First.
Creeps and wackos. Zara's all over the place.
I think it's the funniest thing ever.
Oh my God, you're going to get like text messages from.
You're just like, ooh, wow, what's going to happen next? You reach over blindly for the popcorn. You're like, what the hell? Is this a penis?
Well,
covered in hot butter. And I mean, just the sheer fact that someone could do that undetected.
Yeah,
next
you could
to you.
Actually.
You're just like fidgeting very... around.
Yeah, now
it's awesome.
I'm gonna share it. Hey, anybody want some popcorn?
It has penis in it.
And I put some rosemary sea salt in it. I have. I brought my own rosemary lemon salt.
There's dick in it.
Yeah,
that's the secret ingredient.
Well, folks, we bid you farewell.
Farewell. I hope everyone has a great Halloween.
Throw some parties. Cook some delicious things. Yeah. Get some squash. Boil some cider.
Boo!
Ah! All right. Well, folks, signing off. Till next week.
Hasta la pasta. All of our episodes are recorded right here at Studio 54 at the heart of Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Our rock star award-winning sound editor and producer is Christine Farrell. I'm Zara Tangora.
And I'm Bretton Scott. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening.